And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. Shalom, greetings. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. Website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to find the archives. And that's where you go to support this mission to deliver the Word of God. Today, we are going to be looking for some wisdom and encouragement from the Psalms. And we are ready for chapter 30. And the proverb today is one that I just really found of great value, that just really, really spoke to me. And I hope and pray that it speaks to you as well. I don't want to mess around this morning, so let's just get right to it. We're going to be looking at Psalm 30 first, beginning with verse 1, King James Bible. Let's begin. Verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought me up, brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I give thanks unto thee forever. And that is Psalm 30, very short. I like verse 5. It just speaks some truth about God that we can remember. Let's start with verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, it says, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. We could stand as the church today to remember the holiness of God. And maybe we could also stand to remember that his anger endureth only for a moment. That weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come again in the morning. Let's move on and take a look at the Proverbs, chapter 30. And like I said, this one really spoke to me when I read it yesterday morning, and I think it'll speak to you too. Let's take a look. Verse 1. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy. The man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? I gotta stop. You know, what's interesting is there's... this verse seems to me to be pointing out that God has a son. Let me read it again. Verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind of his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou can tell? Very interesting. Verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things I have required of thee, deny them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. You know, this was the verse that really stuck out to me. Starting with verse 8. You know, maybe you, like me, have often wondered, you know, why is God's people typically on the lower end spectrum of income? Because the reality is you don't see a whole lot of people who truly are followers of Messiah, truly are sold out to God, that have great wealth. Like, you typically don't see that, but you see, you know, it seems like you see all these evil people who hate and detest God and hate and detest everything that's good and wholesome, and they love all forms of wickedness and evil and perversity, and they just have millions and millions of dollars, and it seems like the wicked just prosper and prosper and prosper. And God's people are always struggling. And I think the answer to that question is right here. He answers the question in this wisdom that is written down here. Verse 8, he says, Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food convenient for me. And he says why he doesn't want to have poverty and why he doesn't want to be rich either. Why doesn't he want to be rich? Here's why. Verse 9. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? You see what happens when people have great wealth is they start to lose grasp or start to lose sight of their need for Jesus. They think because they're so comfortable, they think they're in need of nothing. Matter of fact, that is one of the downfalls of the last days church that we're seeing with our own eyes and that Jesus warned about when he wrote his letter to the church of Laodicea. You read it in the book of Revelations, and he says, You think you are rich and have need of nothing, right? But I tell you that you're poor and you're miserable and you need to buy some eye salve for me so you can see. You see, the perfect place for a Christian is to be right there in the middle class. You're doing well enough to where you can help take care of the poor and do these things, but you're not in a position where you can dare get arrogant and think to yourself that you have need of nothing, lest you forget how desperate your need is for God every day. And he points out why it's not good to be poor either. He says, Lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord God in vain. Maybe that should be a prayer for us. Remove far from me vanity and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that's convenient for me. You know, God knows what we need. and what's best for us. You know, you think about the Apostle Paul, and he had that thorn in the side, and he said, three times I asked the Lord to take it away. And the Lord said, no, I'm not going to take it away. I'm not going to take it away. Because in your weakness, you know, when you're depending on me, that's when you're strong. It's almost like he was telling Paul, that thing that's in your side is what's keeping you humble. It's what's keeping you remember that you need me. Take that thing away and you're able to start thinking it's within your own self. All of us have a thorn that seems like God will not take away. And maybe it's for our own good. Maybe it's because we none of us think that we would get that way, right? But maybe without that thing, a thing that's kind of holding us down a little bit, we would get arrogant, or we would get a big head, or we would no longer be humble, or we would start to think, or we would just lose sight of how desperately we are in need of God and His mercy and His forgiveness and His salvation. All right, let's move on. Verse 10. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. That sounds like a description of the generation we're living in right now, doesn't it? You see, there's nothing new under the sun, friends. The things we're seeing right now develop, this world has seen before. We're so arrogant to think that we're the wisest generation to ever live and we have all the best technology. The ancient world was filled with things that we can't even begin to recreate. And there's been societies like this before, generations like this before. Of course, they were destroyed with a flood. Let's read that again. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. What's the New Testament tell us? It's going to be like in the last days. Children will be disobedient to parents. All you got to do is go to your local shopping center. Or shoot, just volunteer for your local church's children's ministry. You'll see the disobedience. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. I mean, that's a great description of this generation. They think everything they're doing is good, but they're lost and dying in their sins. They're not washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're not washed from their filthiness yet. They think in their own eyes that they're pure. There's a generation, oh, how lofty their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Verse 15. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things, say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire saith not, it is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of the eagle in the air, the way of the serpent upon the rock, the way of the ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of the man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. For three things the earth is disquieted. and four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an idiot woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their house in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in the king's palace. There be three things which go well, yea, four are commonly going. A lion which is the strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, and a he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. Let's read that again. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, what's lifting up thyself? That means being prideful, right? Or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. In other words, cover your mouth and keep it shut. Do not blurt out that evil thought. Do not blurt out that prideful, arrogant lifting up of yourself. In the last verse, 33. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. And that, my friends, is the end of Psalms and Proverbs for this morning. And I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that it's blessed you and given you some wisdom and some encouragement. I've got a couple more minutes that I can spare here, so occasionally what I do in this situation is I've been reading this devotional by Charles Spurgeon called Morning and Evening, and I need to still yet read, the May 13th, this morning's devotional. And so since I have a few minutes, I'll just read it with all of you. And I haven't read it yet, so we'll read it together and we'll see what it says here. The verse is Psalm 30, verse 5. Isn't that amazing? What are the odds that I would open this up and the verse that we're going to be reading a devotional about would be Psalm 30, which we just read? Oh, wow. God is good, and there's no such thing as coincidence, my friends. Here's the verse that he's dealing with. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 5. Here's what he says. Christian, if thou art in a night of trial, think of the morrow. Cheer up thy heart with the thought of the coming of the Lord. Be patient, for lo, he comes with the clouds descending. Be patient. The husbandman waits until he reaps his harvest. Be patient. For you know who has said, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work shall be. If you are never so wretched, now remember, a few more rolling suns at most will land thee on fair Canaan's coast. Thy head may be crowned with thorny troubles now, but it shall wear a starry crown ere long. Thy hand may be filled with cares. He shall sweep the strings of the harp of heaven soon. Thy garment may be soiled with dust now, they shall be white by and by. Wait a little longer. Ah, how despicable our troubles and trials will seem when we look back upon them. Looking at them here in the prospect, they seem immense. But when we get to heaven, we shall then, with transporting joys, recount the labors of our feet. Our trials, when they seem light and momentary afflictions, let us go on boldly. If the night never be so dark, the morning cometh, which is more than they can say who are shut up in the darkness of hell. Do you know it is thus to live on the future, to live on the expectation, to attendate heaven? Happy believer, to have so sure, so comforting a hope. It may be all dark now, but it'll soon be light. It may be all trial now, but it'll soon be happiness. What matters it though, weeping may endure for a night, when joy cometh in the morning. Praise the living God, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. How could you not be blessed by those words this morning? There's your wisdom and encouragement from the Psalms, the Proverbs, and a devotional from Charles Spurgeon that was unexpected and unscripted. All right, my friends, there you have it. If you're being blessed by this, please remember scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to support this podcast. And thank you so much for supporting it and making it happen. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until the next time, God bless.